2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, welcome back. Second and final hour for the program for another week. It's always amazing to me how fast time goes, but it's so much fun to get together and spend time with my buddies here on a Saturday. Nice to have you along for the ride, too, for KSL Outdoors Radio. And around the table, I'm Tim Hughes. That's Russ Smith from SkyCall. We'll talk more about sat phones here in a minute. Charlie Jennings also in with us this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
And Matt Jalalian, our producer, is also here. Before we get into our conversation, you took a call, I think, from Andrew's wife. And we've got his Facebook page, right?
Yeah, I spoke with Mrs. Andrew Gowdy, and she gave me the Facebook page. So if anybody wants to follow that page, it is this is quite a Facebook title. Andrew Gowdy, spelled G-O-U-D-Y, for everyone who needs to spell.
Yeah.
Andrew Gowdy, 2017, Pack Trips Chronicles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a healthy one.
Let me simplify that. Just search for Andrew Gowdy. His pictures come up right away. So
yeah, and also
the guy on the horse.
Yeah, also if you go onto the guy on the horse, exactly. You can't miss him. Also, if you go to the KSL Outdoors Radio's Facebook page. I just shared a link.
Attaboy.
What a guy.
So it should be pretty easy to find.
Yeah. Attaboy.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to get sidetracked on this. I'm going to have Mark Juke stick around with us for this conversation on altitude sickness in a second. I don't want to get sidetracked on this North Korea story. We've always kind of decided these 2 hours of Saturday mornings were going to be politics free and we don't dive into too much of this. But this headline.
This is more comedy than politics.
This headline that's going around. Well, look, some people have some serious anxiety about this, but when I see a tracker that's going across the bottom of one of our 24-hour cable news networks that's talking about North Korean media saying that their troops are staging for an invasion of the U.S. mainland, if you just saw the headline and didn't think about it, you'd say, oh, my gosh. You know what it would take to make that happen and how far they have to go without being detected to invade the U.S. mainland? I mean, unless they're going to strap them a couple at a time onto one of those missiles they're sending over and drop them off on the way over.
They can't even invade South Korea. I don't think we have much to worry about.
Anyway,
I think that it's possible they don't actually know where the United States is.
Well, again, I don't want to get sidetracked on this whole thing, but it is something that KSL News Radio is keeping a close eye on all weekend long. We've got scheduled hosts and news people in case something breaks.
We'll have interviews with the North Korea Army that are right at our border.
This is why I didn't want to get sidetracked on the story. Charlie, I had come in this morning, and Mark, I'm having joined this conversation because we've all been involved in Scouts. And Mark, you're pretty deep into it with your boys, aren't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, we did make a trip to King's Peak several years ago, and we had two people experience altitude sickness. It was never officially diagnosed except for one when he ended up at the hospital for 2 or 3 days. But both experienced the two different kinds of altitude sickness. One, they call it HACE, or high-altitude cerebral edema, so swelling in the brain, and HAPE, high-altitude pulmonary edema, that's in the lungs, and it's basically all the same because you're not getting enough air and your body reacts by, building up fluid in the lungs or in the brain. And we saw both of these happen one over time and one almost very, very sudden onset.
And the tough thing for a scout leader or a mom and dad in a simple situation, if you're just out with your family, is the symptoms of both of those things are pretty close to the same thing, aren't they?
Well, they are, or they're close to other things, too. They might mimic dehydration. They might mimic, in fact, when I read about this, and we've studied it a little bit just because of what I do as an avocation, you know, it also mimics a hangover. You don't expect a lot of scouts with hangovers or anything like that in the Iowinas. But it does appear to me, I think, as I recall, the cerebral edema, that the one that impacts the brain, can come on very suddenly, and that's the one that I think that they suspected with this this boy. The pulmonary, the lung one, can happen over days, and you know, we had an adult leader experience that, and he got really sick and really weak, and he had blue around the lips. And we watched him for a day or two. Just say, are you going to get better? Are you going to get better? And finally, we woke up one morning, and we looked in the tent, and instantly we knew it was time to get him down. And someone got him down to horseback. He spent a couple of days in the hospital.
The reason we're having this conversation is because, and it was earlier this week, that teenager from Salem died on a trip to the High Uintas. The troop had been camped in the Chain Lakes area in Krebs Basin. When Douglas Julian, 17, told scout leaders he had a headache, felt nauseated, and felt ill on Friday, leaders decided to pack up camp early and planned a hike to the trailhead in the Uinta Canyon on Saturday morning, but he collapsed about 50 yards from the campsite. Now, blue lips, and I noticed fingernails also turning blue, is a sign, and that would be a clear sign that there's an oxygen problem.
Definitely. It's almost a sign that it's too late, you know, when it gets that bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. We brought oxygen with us, but seriously, in the size of bottle we had, you only have maybe 20 minutes of oxygen. It'll help them for a short time. But it was interesting in the one that, who was hiking. We were hiking out of Painter's Basin, and I'm sure many people are familiar with the Kings Peak area. That's just kind of the basin below Kings Peak, up towards Anderson Pass. And as this one leader, and he was in very good shape, got higher up in altitude, all of a sudden he said, man, I've got a sudden headache. Man, I feel terrible. And it was a very splitting headache. And not long after that, he started vomiting. And that's at the point we said, all right, turn around and get down. And
guess what do you have any idea what the elevation was there? Is it?
Well, I mean, I think King's Peak is a little over 13.5-ish, somewhere in there.
But where you were at the time.
Oh, I would say maybe 12. Yeah.
And the magic line seems to be, in all the research I look, although it could affect people at different, if you come from real low elevations, obviously, the lodge at the base of a ski resort is going to be tough for you.
And it's interesting because we've dealt with people who've come from the lowlands to work on pipelines up there, and we've done standby for them on EMS up in Summit County. And so they might be even at 7,000 or 8,000 feet and experience mild symptoms, not those serious kinds
of symptoms. Well, I was going to say that line seems to be at about 8,500 feet. And most of the things I read, above 8,500 feet, you're likely to start having some of these symptoms. But, Charlie, you had this happen to you. And now you just don't go without that little oximeter.
Pulse,
is that what it's called?
Oximeter.
Yeah,
pulse
oximeter, which is $20. And I'm just thinking, as a scout leader, would it not be smart to have at least one of those with you? It's $20, and it can be used for multiple scouts if people have some symptoms or whatever. It would come in handy.
It's very telling. You know, you underestimate. You know, how you're feeling, headaches, nausea, and whatnot, but you put on one of those pulse oximeters and see what your O2 saturation levels are. It's quite telling.
Well, and by the way, my mother, who has, and she's 82 years old, she has some breathing problems, obviously, at this point in her life, but I was amazed that if you get down into the 80 percentile,
you get really sick.
It's a problem. Yeah. And 80%, you'd think, well, you ought to be feeling pretty good. But if you're dropping into the 80s, that's not good for blood oxygen.
No.
You should be you should ideally be at 95 or better if if you're healthy. Now, some people might have variations in that. But if you're having symptoms and you're below 95, then that's an indication that there's probably something going on there.
So how does a scout leader or a mom and dad who are taking their kids out there know that this is something that could be serious, or, you know, it's just a kid who is not used to hiking and certainly not used to elevation? I guess you just don't roll the dice on it. But as a scout leader, you've got a whole troop planning on going on a weekend excursion or something.
You know, as a scout leader, I think first off, for anybody going to high country, one of those little pulse oximeter is so inexpensive, it's so small, so light, it's worth carrying. And you know, you might want to start, you know, at once you're above that level, start in the evening after everybody is rested, and get their oxygen levels in a rested position and see where everybody's at.
Why not?
Should all be back up into the 90s without any problem.
And the best thing is, if you've got the opportunity, and we talk about this at Mount Everest, but, you know, that's pretty dramatic stuff. You're climbing to 30,000 feet. You have to climatize. And so you go up a little ways. You take your time there. Sometimes you drop back down, and then you go back up. But, Charlie, you wanted to add something here.
After going through that in the Wind Rivers last year, I'll take two additional things. Some people may think this is overkill, but call Russ Smith, Sky Call Satellite. And this is not just a promo, but get a sat phone.
Yeah.
Rent it from Russ, $60, $70, $75 a week. It's totally worth it if something like that happens. I also take a Garmin inReach two-way tech satellite communicator.
Excellent device.
They've got an SOS on it, and you can get the medevac insurance for like $125 a year.
Yeah. Mark, I know you've got to get the next newscast ready, and I'll cut you loose here. But you live at elevation, and sat phones did come up in this story this week of the Salem Boy Scout, because the scout leader, I think, hiked for, they said, 8 or 10 miles to try and find cell service. And by the time LifeLight got there, the boy had already passed.
Yeah, I mean, that's a sat phone's a great thing. I happen to have taught a wilderness first aid class for the Boy Scout Council earlier this spring. And the one thing that I point out is the best thing you can have for wilderness first aid is a plan. And so maybe a plan for evacuating scouts so that you could keep the other scouts there, but you have two leaders who would be ready to get down to lower elevation or anything like that. And also, we had a sat phone too, Russ. And in fact, with the one leader, we myself and a person who worked for AirMed at the time were walking around looking at places where we might land a helicopter.
Plan
if we
a
had
landing,
to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was far down the road, but that was the kind of thing that we have. I think the plan is the biggest thing, the biggest safety thing you can take in a backcountry.
I think that's some excellent information, and it's simple stuff. Have a plan to evacuate, and that means you need four deep leadership. You need two to stay at camp, two to take somebody down. And this is way overkill, but it would have come in handy for you, anybody. Know where you're at, know where they can drop a helicopter in. Mm-hmm. And I doubt that you scouted that out during your experience.
No, we didn't. Not until we needed it.
Yeah.
I woke up at midnight. Well, I didn't wake up. I was in my sleeping bag, sweating, and just like about ready to throw up again.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of my tent buddy, and I said, "Dave, I got to get out of here." And that's when we got on the sat phone and called 911, and then they built a fire, and then they started looking around for a landing zone for a helicopter to come in.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's important conversation, and if you want more information on phones, and I know you're stressed for phones on the shelf right now.
Call me anyway. You know, we'll put something together for you, and there's people that bail on their rental, too, so I have some of those sitting around.
Yeah.
SkyCallSatellite.com, 801-450-8317. Give me a chance to at least get out to the car before you call me this morning.
Yeah, because that ringer's going to drive me nuts.
I love that ringer.
Here's the other thing. You know, all of this, you talk about taking extra gear along. You talk about a little bit more of an expense on the heels of this. It's important to remember that Sunday would have been this young man's 18th birthday.
And our condolences to the family and to all those involved, the leaders and everybody. This is a difficult situation. We're not second guessing, because I think I probably would have done the same thing.
Hi, Brian Martin and Amanda Dixon.
Our job is to get you to work faster on Monday.
We'll break in the second there's a problem.
It's Triple Team Traffic, Monday 5 to 9 on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. Only a couple of minutes here because we ran long on the last segment, but we'll get a news update from Mark in about 5 minutes. The reason I wanted Charlie in here this morning was because you have experienced this yourself, and so to hear you questioning yourself about what these symptoms were, and you had no idea at the time, but you thought stroke, you thought heart attack, and you said you felt like you were just spiraling at some point when you were trying to sleep that night, right?
Yeah, I was. Well, when we first got to our base camp, I just felt like throwing up, and I ate a little bit of dinner, but didn't want to eat. Just didn't have an appetite at all. And then when we got ready for bed, I laid down and just broke out in a sweat, and I thought, I am not going to get any sleep. Yeah. And I got up, and I could just, like I said, started feeling like I was spiraling down, like I'm either going to have a stroke or a heart attack, but I got to get down.
Yeah.
So,
what did you say your blood pressure was when they got you on the helicopter?
They put me in a stretcher and put me in the medevac helicopter, which is like an ICU.
Yeah.
It was over 200.
Jeez. Yeah, serious stuff. And so we just wanted to throw out, you know, more things to make people aware as you get up there. And if you're above 8,500 feet, get below that. If you start having some of these symptoms, it's not something to be messing with. I wanted to mention real quick one other thing that's going on this week. I've seen a lot of great pictures on Facebook from friends that have been up enjoying the wildflowers in up above Alta, and specifically a lot of people, because it's a fairly easy hike. Get up to Secret Lake in some of those areas with the Alta wildflowers. And so it's a great idea. It happens between August and the end of September when people get up there. And we had so much snow this year that it might even be a little bit later than that. But the stress that it's putting on the town of Alta is getting a lot of attention this past couple of weeks. They said the canyon accommodates about 60 parking spots near the trailhead. More than 1,800 visitors came through the small town of Alta in one day. According to city officials there, and from July through September, they see almost 100,000 cars on the road. And they make the point that this is public land, obviously, and they want people to get up there and enjoy it. It's yours to go and enjoy, according to a district ranger there. We all know that. But she says, we also want to make sure that people 20, 30, 40 years from now can still come up and enjoy this. So, again, one of those great things to be doing this time of year, and particularly with the amount of precipitation and snowpack we had, the wildflowers are just gorgeous. If you're going to get up there and enjoy it, make sure you take your camera along. But it's one of those outdoor activities that just about anybody can do. It's not that tough of a hike to Secret Lake above Alta, but you do want to make sure you have some drinking water along with you, and just be mindful to stay on the trails. Don't pick the wildflowers, obviously, and let's make sure that that same experience is available for folks 20, 30, 40 years down the road. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Justin Shannon, who is our big game coordinator. Believe it or not, we are right around the corner from the first of the big game hunts. It's archery season that's upon us, and so we're going to talk about expectations and what the populations are. And speaking of that snowfall and the snowpack, we had a pretty high mortality rate of the fawns in some parts of the state, which raises a little bit of a concern. And then we'll finish out the program. We'll hear from Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge. So stay right there.